special's gonna come your way. We've got something that is new, that is true. We got something just for you today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Knowing Is Half the Podcast. I'm Chan, and we're doing Kids Incorporated because we can.
I am so mad at you right now. I am mad at everybody. How am I going to join the room to do the show? You two are in the middle of a heated debate over whether everybody apparently knows about something or doesn't know about something. And I say, oh, I'll settle this. Immediately, Chan launches the show.
This is what happens when you join late.
Late? I'm over 20 minutes early. What are you talking about?
No, no.
Here's the thing. We needed to get this on tape. Do you recognize the main girl, Stacy?
Oh, the main girl, Stacy? No, I saw Mario Lopez was one of the dancers.
Yes, good
which
call.
Which made me very, very excited.
At which point did not... you go directly to IMDb and see who else is in there.
No,
I don't think he knows her real name. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think he knows her real name.
Okay, hold on. Not in this episode, but certainly in... Did you tell everybody your names?
Oh, I mean, how the tables have turned.
That's a very important thing to do, Robert Clark Chan.
No, none of you people get to know.
What I, Race to Canis, feel is a thing to do.
I need no introduction. I'm the famous one.
Who could fight it?
Very true.
I mean, I didn't get to go to the X-Men 97 premiere.
You guys, the first three episodes are really, really, really good.
I'm excited. So, did you get any dirt?
No. It was mostly a celebration. I will say 100% of that audience knew what was up because when that dude's name came on the screen, it went from thunderous applause to dead silence back to thunderous applause for the next name to the point where I was like, is there an applause sign? How did everyone know? Especially since this happened today, it must have just been a real savvy audience because it was literally like clapping for everything and everyone, like, yay! And then as soon as his name came on screen, there were no stragglers. It was like what I imagine movie screenings in North Korea to be like when an enemy's name comes on the screen.
I mean,
oh my God.
Here's the thing. X-Men fans probably are the best fans in fandom.
But it's not, that's the thing. It's not just fans. These are always a mixture of press, which is me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
do you not know anything about X-Men? Are you new to the franchise?
No, but like not all press people are know everything about what they're seeing. It's press. It's a bunch of like paid cosplayers. It's a bunch of people who worked on the show and know people who worked on the show, like friends and family. And then it's fans.
Every single person that you named off would know that. The press people would know that because they're listening to the news because they're writing articles and whatnot.
Chan.
Fans know it because they've been following the people who are friends of people who work on the show. No, because the people that work on the show have been like, oh my God, do you know what just happened to my boss? So,
Chan, first off, hashtag Gina said it, not all press. Thank you.
It's called an octothorpe. And from now on, I will be saying octothorpe, not all press. Instead,
also, our listeners probably have no idea what's going on and don't give a crap right now.
You know what?
Probably not.
They can look it up.
I mean, all I heard is that Gina was there in person to apply for the role of showrunner on X-Men 97.
Here's
and I hope she gets it.
I got something to tell you guys once we're done recording.
Oh, get it. We're done now. Tell us.
I believe what Gina's going to say is that the same thing happened to showrunners. This is about to happen to her. She's about to get canceled.
I need you guys to prepare your press statements now.
Oh my God, you don't want my press statement.
next week's episode is just gonna be us never mentioning Gina's name ever again.
Like, oh my God.
And for
every tweet mentioning me gets scrubbed from the internet.
That's it. Somehow we're doing video for the first time, like, ever. Just that one time. So that way all the clips to YouTube can get pulled. Oh, my God. I love it. Also, I'm looking at the names. Are you talking about Stacey Ferguson?
Yes. Yeah, see, you don't know. Wait, Chan, did you know who that was before? I know you didn't recognize her, but did you realize, do you know who Stacey Ferguson is before I told you?
Yeah. And I knew she was
okay.
In it.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Love Hewitt and Martika, who probably way fewer people know than Jennifer Love Hewitt, and definitely not a lot of people remember Jennifer Love Hewitt.
What? You're crazy. Everyone knows Gen Xers, Chan. Everyone knows who Jennifer Love Hewitt is. Medium was a very famous show. Ghost Whisperer? What the hell ghost show was she on?
Party of Five? Is that the one?
She started on Party of Five. She was also in the absolutely hilarious Heartbreakers.
Yes, all of those things. Any Zoomer would not recognize. Anyone born.
That's our core audience. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that
our core audience is not Zoomers. Jane. What are you talking about?
We are growing old. Anyway, I didn't think that she was in this episode because I wasn't paying close attention.
I'm shocked. I mean, even with the poor quality of this, she looks and sounds exactly the same.
Well, here's the thing. I do not listen to her intentionally.
That is where we part ways. Ray still has no idea. I've been rewatching Legion in just preparation in general for I finished all the X-Men animated series, finished all the movies, so I'm on to Legion. It's very good and not confusing at all.
It's so Why is there a Bollywood number in the intro? Thank you.
Because we already answered that. So if you didn't learn from it, that means that you refuse to listen to me or Chan.
You just were like, oh, it's just there because shapes and colors. And that's not good enough for me. I need real reasons.
My point has been proven.
Thank you.
Also, since when has just shapes and colors not been enough for you?
You do have the mind of a baby. All you need are shapes and colors.
Dear. Oh, my God. That's who that is?
Jesus Christ, it took you this long to Google it?
I didn't look it up before now.
Stacey Ferguson, a.k.a. Fergie.
Fergie!
My peas from My Lovely Lady Lumps, which currently...
Oh, my God!
She has none. So
wait, Jennifer Love Hewitt's on this show?
Yes.
Listen, you don't like Where Is the Love?
We're going to have to talk about these when we get to them.
You don't like I Got a Feeling?
You
don't like any of the Black Eyed Peas? The Black Eyed Peas have a lot of songs. I would wager you don't know that you're listening to a lot of Black Eyed Peas songs.
Black Eyed Peas are a delight.
That those songs do not like.
Chan was trying to shit talk the Black Eyed Peas.
That's out, Chan. First off, outrageous. Second off, I own the album Ella Funk.
Hell yeah.
Even I own that. So Chan, you have to be is a rare Chan versus Ray and Gina episode.
Also,
where
Chan
Gina's
just
not
got
sure halfway through if she's still right.
Chan just got outpaced in terms of taste and in terms of cool by Ray. And that should be enough to shame you, Chan.
That should be enough to end the show right there.
I'm sorry. Octothorpe. Black Eyed Peas forever, or Octothorpe, Black Eyed Peas no more.
Why wouldn't it be Black Eyed Peas never? If you're doing forever, you gotta go never. Anyway, we're watching a show that has Fergie in it, and neither of these guys realized it was Fergie.
Not a chance would I have ever considered that this kid named Ferguson was Fergie. No.
Did you think her birth name was Fergie?
Here's the thing. I will say the fact that you own their album and you don't know that Stacey Ferguson is Fergie is shameful. You're back to being
like
shamed.
Seven. What do you mean?
You don't. I'm saying you don't know what her real name is.
Do you not know that the Duchess of York is actually named Sarah Ferguson and not, in fact, Princess Fergie?
As a Black Eyed Peas fan, like, she talked about it. It was brought up in every interview for about a decade.
I have not.
It was like when Like, everyone's like, oh, look at Ryan Reynolds, like, dancing on all the shows that he used to dance on when he was a kid. Anytime the Black Eyed Peas would do an interview, the late night host would be like, hey, remember when you were in Kids Incorporated?
I will also say at this time, just to get it out of the way, I loved this show as a kid.
Good, oh, good.
No. And watching it now, it is extraordinarily bad, A. But B, it is extraordinarily bad in a way that I'm okay with.
Yes.
Because I know that it is intended for a completely different audience. And it's not like you can like watch G.I. Joe and you're like, oh, wow, there's some stuff that kind of like hits for me as an adult. Like maybe you might kind of like remember one of the songs, go like, oh, okay, I kind of remember that from when I was a kid or whatever. But other than that, there's nothing. There's nothing an adult mind can grasp on. This is pure and utter garbage to an adult. But, you know, that's fine.
But I will say, because like I only very vaguely remember this. Like I didn't have Disney growing up, and I wasn't watching a lot of like, you know, kids doing musical things like the Mickey Mouse Club or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But all of these songs in here are bangers. They picked bangers.
They did.
It's kids singing them, but they're bangers. They're all songs I knew and I loved.
There are okay. No.
We have discovered that you have bad taste in music, and that is
some of the songs that exist in the world by the original artists are good. Every interpretation by this proto kids pop group is dog shit.
No, I think that these kids honestly were better than I thought they would be. Like, if I went to karaoke and a kid up there and started singing Jackson 5, I would be like, oh, hell no. But when these kids sang Jackson 5, I was like, hey, if that was my nephew, I would be like, hey, good for you. You're singing Jackson 5.
To start out with, like, I will acknowledge that the theme song is a banger. It's also a minute and a half long, which is a great way to pad time. It's a musical show, so you can just do the entire song and no one's going to bother. And they're not going to be like, this should have been done a minute ago, which I feel with every theme song to a kid's show.
It's not even like they did a minute and a half theme song. They, at one point, did a theme song to a different TV show.
What?
I think Ray is about to be confused.
I don't think so, because the TV show and also movie of Fame was the theme song when they made the TV knockoff of Fame.
What? That's not what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. I changed the subject. Surprise. Anyway, I found out more things because I went down a little IMDb rabbit hole while Chan pondered the meaning of life through Kids Incorporated. My first note here is...
You could have done that before we did...
It's true. That's what I always say.
I can't express... My first note here is, oh God, Chan, why did you do this to us? And that expresses how much I wanted to live in this world. Not one second beyond is what I had to. This intro song, if we could please hear some of it, because my note here is, I already want to die.
Oh, what? You're the worst.
Oh,
you're the worst.
Oh my goodness.
Kids singing pop songs is, let me tell you right now, Kids Bop is a huge big deal and it's delightful. There's a song, Star Walkin' by Lil Nas X, okay? And this song has a lot of words and concepts in it that are not great for children. And Kids Bop did this song because it was so popular and played at all the sporting events. And I remember being at work, where we had used this for one of our anthems as well, I was walking through campus at work listening to Kids Bop Star Walk, and for whatever reason they were playing it. I'm like, how are they possibly going to pull this off? And they somehow did. They changed the words nearly completely to allow children to sing it. Maybe that's why they picked this version for our campus.
I love that. The only way I could love it more is if they somehow did like a Slayer song and turned that into a kids' bop that like got into, you know, like heavy rotation for children. You know, I don't know, Speak of Heaven, Seasons of the Abyss, you know, Raining Blood. other than that, like, that is, I love that Montero is in that place.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Children singing pop songs is my kryptonite. I absolutely hate it. I respect music too much to defile it this way. Have you heard?
Yeah. I just put my finger on why Ray hates it. It's because it involves spelling, and he was confused.
I mean, that you're not wrong.
AIDS Kids Incorporated still rattles around in my brain to this day.
That is tragedy.
It's so catchy and so awesome.
When Malcolm McDowell in A Clockwork Orange was forced to watch the screens of violence without being able to close his eyes, that is how I felt watching Kids Incorporated. I'm really upset at Fergie right now. I feel very let down that this is where Fergie came from. I'm sure Mr. I Am is also, if he knew this, he's got to be upset.
I guess the way you feel about Fergie here is the way I feel about Fergie as an adult.
God, distressing.
Different strokes, different folks.
And when the song started out with I really thought for a second it was the "We're the Kids in America," but this is very clearly that's a great song. This is adjacent to it. It's like a sound-alike that you would write, and it's Kids Incorporated. I don't know. Everything about this upset me.
I will say also, I did not have my eyes on the screen when Stacey Ferguson's name came up.
But
I caught it out of the corner of my eye, and I had to go back because I swear to God, it looked like a 6-year-old girl was spreading her legs and they were zooming in on her vagina.
That is definitely what's happening here.
I went back and looked at it, and like her feet are together and she like opens up her feet and then it just kind of like stays there. It zooms in a little bit, but it's not aimed at her genitals. But from the corner of my eye, I was like, oh fuck, how pedophilic is this thing? It's still a little weird.
Yes, it is still a little bit weird. I also we'll get into that in just a second here. When that character gets introduced, look, Kids Incorporated, how could I explain this to a modern audience? Kids Incorporated is a show featuring 5 singing children with, I guess, 5 or more or less backup dancers. And the story is loose. There's going to be a plot that sort of goes segment by segment. Think of each scene more of a skit or a sketch than think of it as an overall narrative. They do try to like tie it together so they are related to each other, but nothing is going to happen.
People know how these shows work. People know how Kids Incorporated and the Mickey Mouse
Club.
Yes. Did you not?
I was never into Mickey Mouse Club. I was like you. I was never into Mickey Mouse Club.
But I knew how they worked. You know how kids variety shows. I know how kids variety shows work.
Sorry to hear that.
Are they still doing this sort of thing? Because I didn't have Disney, so I didn't have I didn't know what went on in the Mickey Mouse Club. I did have this. I think eventually it moved to either Nickelodeon or Disney, and I wasn't able to watch it anymore. But when it first came out, it was like a Canadian show, right? No, it's American, but it feels Canadian, I guess. But it was like syndicated, so I could watch it on like normal TV.
100%.
But this is it. Like, it makes total sense. And like I said, as a kid, I loved it. I imagine that kids would still love the format today. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if they do still do that.
If kids would love the format today, they would be making shows like this today.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do they?
This was replaced by Ryan's World on YouTube. So the answer is no.
But kids still like music and they like seeing kids do things. Why wouldn't they like seeing kids like perform as a rock and roll band? I guess we're calling them.
There's... There's something. I don't know. I think the pacing is way too slow. I think that the sketches are way too stupid.
Yeah, but the idea of something like this, of like a kids who are a band and perform, you know, like contemporary songs that you could hear on the radio.
Chan, if you can, to the radio now. What songs do you hear on the radio that kids could sing these days?
Obviously, Lil Nas X.
Yeah, I was going to say Starwalking. That's it.
Yeah. Gina, does this sort of show still exist?
I mean, that's a good question. I wrote for Nick News last year, which was like segments. You know, it was like segments aimed towards kids, and there were like segments about music and things like that. But I don't know if a purely variety show kids thing exists at the moment. I know Disney would love to get one.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And this isn't even like a variety show. It's like straight up, here's something to string together a bunch of songs. Which, like, yeah, why isn't Kids Bop doing that? Why aren't they? Because you could put together a show like this for like $4 and put it on YouTube.
You're not wrong. So the second or third or whatever song we're on right now is the first. There's a stage set up, and I don't understand exactly how the world, much like in a previous episode, I was confused about the world of Kangaroo and the world of Donkey Kong. Sorry, Gina, you have to listen to that one on your own. I'm confused about the world of Kids Incorporated because seemingly there's a stage and it's like a dinner theater that is set up, except the dinner theater is other kids. And they're recording it, I guess, for dissemination purposes.
No. What is
happening?
This is the Bronze from Buffy. It's it's an all ages club where people can go and watch music. Like the house band is Kids Incorporated. They've got pyrotechnics.
They sure do.
And I'll just stop there. They have, I don't know, maybe I should say they have a pyrotechnic.
No, they have one powerful, because first off, the first song here is Michael Jackson, but from the 1970s Michael Jackson, from the Jackson 5. The name of, I recognize the song, I don't remember
weird, its name. That was a very weird way to introduce that song.
Yeah,
If I could remember the name of the song, I just would have said that, but I was trying to give as many descriptors. Saying,
you said it's Michael Jackson, but it's 70s Michael Jackson.
And there's a difference.
Instead of just saying the Jackson 5, which everyone knows.
Yes.
I probably should have said that.
That's very weird. That. It would be like if I said it's Justin Timberlake, but in the 2000s. So it's Justin Timberlake in a band in the 2000s. And then you would be like, you mean NSYNC? And I'd be like, no, Justin Timberlake in a band in the 2000s that was called NSYNC.
Do people even remember the Jackson 5 anymore? I mean, it's pretty much as Michael at this point, isn't it? Nobody remembers Tito and Jermaine.
I can't. If we're going to keep having these insane conversations, I can't do this anymore.
Gina, so, I can't imagine that you would have reached your limit this far into our podcast.
I think it's just that when I have nothing else going on, I figure I may as well listen to these dumbos. But when I have so much other stuff going on, every second of this is like bees in my brain.
Well, then
I've been described that way before.
Good for you, because it's bees in my brain 24/7, has been from the beginning of the show. So if you only get to experience a little of that, you deserve it.
Guys, I don't know what you're talking about. My head is totally clear when we record.
I mean, here.
That's good, dude. Like, I'm not kidding you. That's good.
He's a solid singer.
Yes. Yeah.
This one's fine. This one's fine.
I don't really have any notes, any problems with this one.
Not for this one. Here's the deal. Honestly, I was like, if all the performances are going to be like this, I'm probably going to be okay. And they were not. The big thing that I took away from this segment, though, is whoever was on the one pyrotechnic machine apparently was feeling himself, because they pumped that stage full of so much smoke that I cannot see a single performer at certain points.
And they're just like a bunch of fucking sparklers or something.
It's like watching old clips of the Fog Bowl. It is atrocious.
What kids describing right now? That kid with those pipes and a stage full of smoke with kids on it, that is a fucking banger. You guys are crazy. No. I want to see little kids enveloped in smoke and then disappear into like a fucking different dimension. And then they become tiny heroes.
This is how the showrunner from X-Men got in trouble. Are you sure you want to go down this road?
Please do not disappear children, Gina, under no circumstances.
I'm just assuming that they're like going there and fighting like as wizards. I think it's like the plot of the D&D cartoon. Anytime a kid disappears, I assume they're in another realm playing a real life version of D&D.
Gina, the worst FBI agent ever. Oh,
yeah, I see a wardrobe here. They must be in Narnia.
Case closed. Moving on.
Case closed. They'll be back with a talking lion. You'll be fine. Okay, so an adult who I can only describe as the ice cream man. I don't know. He's seems to be somebody like a grip or a stage technician or a stage manager, but he's dressed like an ice cream man, including the hat.
Yeah, I get. Maybe he's the owner of the place slash band manager slash. I feel like the story for kids is that if you're a kid band, you have a manager who like does everything for you, kind of like a rock star.
Yeah, okay.
But like a kid version of it. So. Yeah.
Well, I also think he's the only quote unquote adult that I remember from the whole thing. And he's only like 22.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's a little bit like the RA in college who sold you weed. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't trust this guy for anything. He just randomly brings in an ominous trunk that's stamped from Ireland, fragile. Mm-hmm. And you start seeing that like something's moving around inside of it. And I just wrote here two notes. My first note is, if Warwick Davis is not in there, we riot.
Mm-hmm.
And my second note is, we rioting.
Obviously. How do you think that there's enough money for Warwick Davis? Pre-Willow Warwick Davis, pre-adolescence Warwick Davis, how do you think you could afford any amount of Warwick Davis on a budget like this?
Look, this is Empire Strikes Back era Warwick Davis. This is right before he would have been shooting Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. I think you could have gotten him. My whole point is there was a moment, and it lasted about 60 to 90 seconds while I was watching this, that I had my hopes up that it would turn into a murder horror movie and that all of these kids would be massacred by Warwick Davis, the leprechaun.
Look, would I watch that? Probably.
Yeah.
Is that what this show is?
It is. Or it's sadly.
Why not. Would you think that that would be what the show is?
It looked like it might. To be fair, it got a little weird for a second and it felt like maybe they were going in an ominous direction. But then they remembered that they were Kids Incorporated and that would not be what happens here.
Did you see the theme song? Were you somehow confused as to what kind of show this was going to be?
Look, can I tell you right now? A couple nights ago, I was up late because that's what I do. And it was my job to be in charge of the children downstairs. If the baby starts crying or if my 6-year-old comes out and needs something, great. So, of course, I say this is a great time for me to reacclimate myself with the 2001 classic Jason X, where Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th goes to space and murders everyone. And it is.
Why would you do that?
It is a wonderful movie. It is a treasure. I only got about halfway through it and I'm like getting right into the meat of when he really starts getting into it. And he is just tearing up this entire squad of space marines. And I look over and I see my kid coming out of her room towards the living room. And I have not moved that fast to get that off my screen before she could see it. Perhaps I've never moved that fast ever in life.
When your job is to take care of your kids when they get out of bed. Why would you think
I wouldn't be watching Jason X in that moment?
It'd be like watching pornography while your kid's like right there, possibly about ready to come into the room. Like there's just, you don't.
Hmm. I mean, you don't maybe, and don't lie to me, Chan, because I know you do. Anyway, what was I talking about? Okay, we're taking... So they finished the song, the Michael Jackson song from the 70s. You know the one. And...
And I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
Great song.
Michael Jackson was 11 years old at the time.
God bless him. So the kids on stage, the two main ones, the young ones, say, hey, guys, we're going to take a break. We're going to go backstage and finish our checkers game.
That, I swear to God,
it was interesting.
Sounded like
they're doing some of the drugs.
Yes.
What's going on, guys?
We're going to finish our checker game. Come on.
Yeah. No, I thought they were going to go bang.
Yeah. I just was like, why are you coming up with a lie? Like, I just, whatever you're doing is not checkers. And then they cut to backstage, and sure enough, there's a checkers board already in progress. Who doesn't have time to finish a game of checkers?
This was literally like the writers were like, we got to find a reason to get them out of there. And then someone was like, they're not paying us enough to think of shit. Just say they're playing checkers. And then it's like, done.
You
said if we have time, we'll maybe go back and change it later.
I thought you were about to say that, like, this rock and roll band has a writer that insists that they must have a game of checkers anywhere they go, and green M&Ms.
Look, I know this is from like 1984, but I'm not gonna be convinced that this whole episode wasn't written by AI. I'm not gonna lie.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Let's show 'em, baby skates.
Here comes that pretty little show off, baby skates. You can make a skate, she's baby skates. And do you see how baby skates are made of spokes? Showing off is fun with baby skates. Baby skates, baby skates.
We showed 'em, didn't we, baby skates?
Baby skates doll.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So the leprechaun, the leprechaun has come out of the box, and the leprechaun is very realistic looking, with a very realistic, I can't believe they found somebody from Ireland for real to play this character, because the voice is so authentic. My only note here is the leprechaun is here to murder you in all caps. Look, I was getting my hopes up, everybody.
It is. Can we hear a little disturbing leprechaun.
Can we hear a little bit of, and I got some more information about the leprechaun.
Top of the morning to ya. Lyle Moriarty at your service.
I mean, that's real.
That is an accent, of course.
I looked it up to see who played the leprechaun, and it was played by an actor named John Franklin, who's oddly enough not from Ireland, if you can believe it. What I love about this is John Franklin, the actor, had that I forget the name of the disease, but the one that keeps you looking much younger than you are, the Gary Coleman disease. He was like in his 20s when this came about, but looked much younger. What I found interesting was that John Franklin, the actor, was in multiple Children of the Corn movies. So here we go. See, I'm not that far off. but also appeared in the Addams Family movie from 1991 as Cousin It.
Oh, Okay. That makes sense.
You know what? And also the sequel is Cousin It. I say, go get it, John Franklin. I wish you only good moments. Also, and this is very exciting in the biography, is that John Franklin quit acting in 2003 to go teach acting and writing and everything here in Los Angeles up in Santa Clarita at a college up there.
Oh, that's cool.
Not too far from where I live, so I might have to go pay him a visit.
Before he quit, he was in Star Trek Voyager, which is real solid.
Very nice.
He's just like a short guy, right? Like he's getting roles because he's an adult man who's very short.
He's 5 foot even.
Yeah, that's a dream to get an adult who's that short for Hollywood.
Whoa, didn't know he was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Then he came back.
Wow. He
last acted in 2018. So, you know.
That's not bad. 2018. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Dude, you got Fresh Off the Boat and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That, I call that a very successful time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you go.
He's awful in this.
He's very bad. I want to say nice things because I like him. After reading about him, I think he's a very interesting and cool person think it seems very delightful, but what they're asking him to do in this show compared to what it seems like he's capable of doing are not on the same wavelength. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement?
I mean, look, it's some of it is what he does, I'm sure. Some of it is what the show requires, because he's doing, you know, it fits within the context of the show, which is not good.
No, I think he's not terrible. I think that we've been so jaded by, you know, like singing competition shows and TikTok. But like back then, a lot of shows that had singers on it, like they weren't great. Like if you go back and watch the Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family, I mean, a lot of them aren't even singing or dancing. And a lot of them don't know how to sing or dance. Like this was how it was back then. We're just looking at it now as like, now that Hollywood fucking chews up and spits out little baby stars and has to make sure they're triple threats. But this was like back when they were just like, get us some kids who can sort of do those things, but otherwise are normal kids.
They got Fergie. I mean, let's face facts. The casting director did not think, look, if you nail it on one of these,
that's
five,
one person who turned out to be able to sing and dance out of a cast of 10.
That's one Gina. Person who managed to have a career in the music
you
industry.
You shut your mouth, sir. Where is the love?
Gina, you're basically talking about NSYNC right now. They only found one.
That is not true. JC Chazé could jam.
There's a song later where
there is.
He's singing with other people.
Oh, we'll get there because I got questions.
Well, no, just that you can hear him because he's still doing his leprechaun voice.
Correct.
And he can sing. You can hear that he can sing just fine. But they chose to have him sing that way. And it sticks out. It you know, like pops out as like, oh, that does not mix with any of the rest. And, you know, that's what they wanted. But also that's just a bad creative choice.
It's aggressive. Yeah, I have notes about that. I have notes about a lot of things because I try to understand the... Give me the rules of this world, right? And then please stick to the rules of this world. I mean, I don't think that's asking too much out of literally any property at all.
That's fair.
Establish your world, live in that world. That's it. Look, G.I. Joe, 1985, did it fantastically. This world is insanity, but things don't happen in this world that make me go, I don't know, man. Even when they're crazy, I go, I can see that. Yeah, I don't know. This show, in the one episode we watched, The Leprechaun, does not do a good job of that, in my opinion.
And also, I'm going to cut him enough slack to say that it's a show with a leprechaun in it. So we've accepted that magic exists in this world. And
have to.
They're going to be, you know, kind of a little fast and loose with it. Whatever.
Yeah, having rules for your magic is important, I think. But even we'll get there.
Hey, you're talking to a level 3 judge, Magic the Gathering accredited, so don't tell me about rules for magic.
Look, if I may interrupt you for a moment, Chan.
Wow, no.
Got him.
Timing jokes.
Got him. First off, the leprechaun. We meet the leprechaun, and he is a liar. Right out the gate, as one of the first things he says is, I listen to your good records all the time. That's a lie. They have no good records. Stop it.
Rude.
Stop it. Leprechaun also has magic, and he has mad. This is where I got a little frustrated. The leprechaun is a magic powder or dust of some kind. We don't see it. He just sort of mimics throwing dust up in the air.
No, that's not what Chan.
I mean, I don't know. I do I have to explain to you what fucking pixie dust is, man?
It's not even that. It's just he's waving his hand and casting a magic spell on himself. He's not throwing anything. He's not.
Well, look, here's the deal. They do a visual effect on him, so that way he's a different color. But he literally does throw dust in the air. I missed it the first time. He throws literal dust in the air and then it disappears. And then he gets lit differently, so we're to know that he is not there anymore. As I rewatch it now in real time.
Look, that's cutting edge special effects for a children's show in 1984.
I don't hate the effect. The effect kept me in the moment. He says, look, I have a magic spell, and the adults will not be able to see me or hear me. Only you two will be able to see me and hear me. So no one can help you, which is a little terrifying.
The weird thing is, it's not specifically adults. It's just whoever he wants to have see him, because there are some kids later on that can't see him either.
Yes.
And it's a little unclear why that would be, because there are no stakes. It's not like, if they see me, I lose my powers or I get sent back to Ireland or whatever. It's just like, I just don't want you to see me.
Yeah.
No reason other than that.
They do, I think, hard and fast, loose, I should say, with these rules. Because he does mention adults off the top, but then it doesn't really apply to adults. It applies to other kids and rooms. I don't know. Anyway, they ask him the question that I would ask. Why the F are you here? And he says, I need you, Kids Incorporated, but just two of you, to teach me how to be a rock and roll star. Why would you go to Kids Incorporated for that?
Why wouldn't you?
Because they're big rock and roll stars.
Exactly.
You heard the song.
You know what I did, to be fair. And then they go, okay, we haven't decided what's going on just yet, but we do have our next number. We've got to get back to the stage. Here, go to this glory hole and watch us through the wall.
That was a little weird, a little awkward.
Really upsetting.
Especially if he can just make himself invisible, just have him stand in the audience.
He could go on stage. Nobody would know.
Look, they only have so much money for that wildly expensive special effect of being invisible that they put on him. So, you know, we're going to use story to get around it.
In his response to the kids, he says, I mean, Chan, maybe you could just pull it. I have so many polls here, but maybe you could just pull me his response to them when they asked to go on stage.
Peek through this hole. Great, Daddy-O.
Why does Daddy-O? What, is he like a hep cat from the 1950s? What's happening?
He's using a lot. It's a running bit that he's using a lot of old rock and roll slang. It's like,
it's like in Martian movies
when they watch old movies to learn English.
You know what? Okay. I'll give him a pass on that. I thought it was weird, but you're right. That is a running gag that just annoyed me. I didn't really pick up that was the gig.
It is not a good running gag. They do not do a good job of it, but it is there.
If they would have set it up in any way, shape, or form, I think it would have been better.
There's a lot of like punchlines missing a setup. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I guess kids are just like, ha ha ha. And adults are just like, that it was poorly constructed. Do better.
No, I think kids are also saying that was poorly constructed. Oh, God. So the next song, may as well play some of it, Chan. You know I want to hear every song.
Of course you do.
Say it isn't so.
Tell you what, why don't you
it's a banger.
Listen through this peephole.
I know your first Chan, what is happening? Are you having a stroke?
It's right here.
I think he is. I think we're good, Chan. I think I've heard enough.
It's, yeah.
What's happening?
He was torturing you.
Here's the deal. I feel tortured. So good job.
It's middle ground, soft rock, you know.
Yeah.
Bordering on yacht rock. I mean, Hall & Oates can definitely fall in that category, so sure.
Yeah. I found this to be boring. I found this particular song performed
Fuck
by
you.
Them.
Do to, not to use the word by them boring, to be boring. And when in regards to a Hall & Oates song, sir.
Look, Maneater is one of my all-time favorite songs, and I have nothing but good things to say about both Hall as well as Oates. That said, when you give their yacht rock material to children, it stops being a banger. I'm sorry.
I have some mild problems with Hall & Oates as appropriating blue-eyed soul. That's what the term is for their genre.
Is that right? That's
but it's, you know, it's acceptable.
It's acceptable. All right. So now the scene that really, okay, one of the many scenes that really, I was trying to wrap my head around it, and it's very difficult. They walk into a cafeteria. They walk into the same room again where the stage is, the dinner theater is, what have you. And there are people everywhere. And they walk out essentially like halfway into the room. And they're having a conversation with the leprechaun around everybody. And it is like there are like 20, 25 people in there, right? Doing their various things.
Mm-hmm.
And
including these three kids
at like a milk bar.
They're in the middle of a bustling cafe, let's say, studying
in the middle of a place where loud music would typically be played.
Yeah,
it is playing.
Which
is playing.
There's nothing wrong with that, but you don't fucking go there and tell people to shut the fuck up. You're in a public place. If it's not even a goddamn library. If you want quiet, go somewhere quiet.
Yeah, yes. this is very clearly they only had one set.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wrote it into the script as a library, and they said, can we get set deck to like redecorate it? And they were like, no, just make it the cafe.
We already blew all the money on the green face paint for the leprechaun.
True. What I don't like is that they walk in, they have a conversation with the leprechaun, like well into the room, and then they go, okay, we don't want people to see you. Better go invisible. He's already in the room.
There's tons of people in that room. Like
tons of them.
Not the speaking roles. So it is weird.
And then they go and there's a hilarious scene where the leprechaun is trying to get their attention and they're trying to study, the two kids. And so he starts messing with their stuff and dropping books. And yes, the three other kids turn and shush them every time they make any noise whatsoever. And I was getting pissed off at them for exact reasons. I haven't been this annoyed since I went to a sporting event and had somebody in a row in front of me turn and say, can you stop cheering so loudly?
That is what? A thing that would happen to you.
It has absolutely happened to me. I'm still angry.
It wasn't their fault.
I was just going to say I'm on their side.
We are in a stadium of 80,000 people.
Yeah. And somehow you stood out
as the most annoying one there.
some crazy lines.
I'm just going to say right now, yes, I have equaled the decibel level of 80,000 people before. That does not mean that it's not the correct time and the correct place to be loud. If not here, where?
No, where is the answer to that?
Look, I am a jet engine.
When I'm really mad, sometimes I need to murder people. And if not here, then where?
If not here, on this island where we murder the homeless after flying them in and chasing them, where else would I murder people, Robert Clark Chan?
I have no good response to that.
Thank you. Okay. Now,
I'm just furious that... all of these other problems with this scene aside, they're getting mad because the two kids are like saying things. They're talking, and the three kids who are studying are under the impression that they're talking to them, as opposed to these two people sitting at a table who would in any situation be expected to be talking to each other.
That's fair.
Like, what did you do? Like, hey, would you stop bothering us? Like, they're not bothering you. This girl is talking to this boy. This boy is talking to this girl. They're not talking to you, so you can fucking ignore them.
Yeah, at a certain point, when literally they can't even make any sound of any kind without you freaking out, that it becomes about you. You're trying to freak out at that point. You are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was getting very annoyed.
This is not any kind of endorsement of your behavior at the sporting event, which I continue to hold was incorrect and too loud.
That is an outrage. And I don't know why I expected you to take my side in this. The people at home, take my side in this, please. Thank you. That, you know what?
Octothorpe Ray is too loud. Octothorpe Ray is fine. Whatever.
Ray is fine. Whatever will be my tombstone. okay. So now the three kids who were shushing them like 92 times, this bit goes on far too long.
It goes on so long.
And I'm supposed to find it hilarious that they're getting shamed publicly for things that are not their fault, which instead just aggravates me as somebody, who gets aggravated by those kinds of things.
As somebody who had very specific trauma issues as a child. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's basically a public eating space. They're basically doing this at the food court at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And that is ridiculous. Okay. So now they make a very active point to have the leprechaun say, now that those kids are gone, I'm going to become visible again. Completely disregarding that there are still like 20 to 25 people in this space.
Those are extras. They don't count.
The one dude is their manager / soda jerk.
I think it's soda jerk. Yeah.
Unclear his position, but he is definitely an adult with a speaking role. And so probably should be taken into account.
But to be fair, I'm going to agree with Gina and I'm going to piggyback what she just said. Because I'm actually going to amend a very popular pirate phrase. Dead men and extras tell no tales. If you're not allowed to speak on camera, who are you going to tell?
You know what? Yeah, I guess so.
You know what? I'm back on board. I'm back on board with the reality here. And that's great. Now, the leprechaun gets a song. leprechaun gets a song. Of course I want to hear it. Stuck on You. I'm not as familiar with this song.
Are you kidding me?
You don't know the former lead singer of the Commodores, Lionel fucking Richie?
Yeah, I think this is maybe more egregious than saying Michael Jackson in the 70s when he was in a band.
I at least recognize that song. I have a Lionel Richie record album at my parents' house.
I can't do this with you anymore, Ray. I can't.
Well, my
it's
musical
one
reference
of Lionel
level
Richie's
four.
Most famous songs.
It's Hello. Yeah. It's Dancing on the Ceiling.
On that midnight train tomorrow, and I know just where I'm going. I packed up my troubles and I
thrown them all away. This time, little darling, coming home to stay.
Stuck on you.
Don't know the song at all.
I got this feeling down deep in my heart, and I know it's true. Guess I'm on my way.
It's not that I require songs made famous by a black singer to be sung by someone who is black, but his singing style is like, what if you took the whitest person in the world, painted him green, and then gave him a soul song to sing? And it's just a little too much for me personally.
Yeah, you don't need a black artist song to be sung by a black person, but you definitely do not need it sung by a leprechaun.
It's great. I mean, truly, when I heard this, I was like, "Oh, I got to remember to add this to my Spotify playlist."
Oh man,
I hope you choose the leprechaun version.
Oh my God, let's get it for her. I feel like with a show like this, every time they went for a more ballad down tempo song, I got bored like immediately, because like if it was Lionel Richie singing it, if it was Hall & Oates singing it, I'd be like, great, these are good entertainers. But it's Kids Incorporated's Leprechaun singing it, and I get bored in like 2 seconds. If we have to do this, give me only up tempo numbers, please. I'm dying over here.
I think the child version of me would agree with you. I think I was not a fan of the ballads, and I just wanted to get to, like, you know, the high energy stuff. It's a choice. I'm not gonna disagree with it, I guess.
I'll take that as a half agree.
I still can't believe you don't know this song.
No, the one thing I have to just be real. Is my reference level for music is very, very poor, especially for music pre 1984, and music post 1984. Anything that isn't Weird Al Yankovic or They Might Be Giants, I'm pretty much. It's very. If it wasn't for Weird Al, I wouldn't know those original songs he parodied either.
I'm disgusted by you.
Yeah. No,
Gina, this is not news.
Again, like, you should have bailed on the show like 3 weeks in. When you hear it's been 8 years, that is so on you, Gina.
Oh my gracious. Yeah. Look, this is a hole in my brain. So there it is. So now we're gonna get the leprechaun dressed up to be a rock star, and they're going to try to teach him to be a big time rock star. Now, his biggest problem, as he enumerates on the show, is that he gets stage fright and he gets too nervous to perform. And that is what is holding him back from being a mega rock star.
Just real quick. We should talk about the outfit that either he or they think is what a rock star looks like. He looks like the genie from Aladdin's version of a tux. He's got like a what is that, a pork pie hat? Is that a some sort of red and yellow striped thing that is
it's
done
the hat that Fred Rerun Barry wore on What's Happening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cover up those ears.
Yeah. And I guess we have to, like, it's the Spock in Star Trek 4 thing where, like, this is how everyone's going to know that you're weird is your ears and not your green fucking skin.
Yes. Yes. It's like a sequin jacket. It is.
And it's like, yeah, like weird pointy shoes, maybe. I'm not sure what those are, but.
Well, the shoes they give him, they specifically do this because they say, oh, well, you have to learn breakdancing. And then he says, what's that? And they go, you don't know what breakdancing is. And then based on what they show him, I don't think that they do either.
100% they do. Well, I mean, they certainly cannot do it.
They popped and locked.
I'm offended that you would even call it that. It is dire.
They do. Are the examples they give? They say moonwalk, which mm-hmm. I guess you can argue maybe started as like a form of breakdancing.
That was
breakdancing is the moonwalk, hopping, locking.
Teach me.
Hopping, locking, two separate things.
He does some sort of robot-ish move.
Can I tell you? I have a vivid memory when I was in elementary school and we used to have like teen magazines or whatever, you know, the magazines of that era. And I will have a distinct and vivid memory of Learn to Breakdance on like mm-hmm. the final page of the magazine. And the big thing that they were teaching how to do was the moonwalk. That was considered. Now, I don't consider Michael Jackson a breakdancer per se. I feel like breakdancing is something different than what he does. And what he does is a heck of a lot more technical. But I do have great respect for the breakdancing art.
Are you shitting on breakdancers?
I just said I have great respect for the art.
Yeah, they realized things... he was going to get in trouble and then tried to cover his tracks.
I would argue that what Michael Jackson does is not, they call it breakdancing and they did in that era for sure. I do not consider what he does specifically breakdancing. It's just a different whole other type of dancing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's offensive.
Like breakdancing is way more athletic and I would argue more technical than what Michael Jackson does.
I don't know
but
about
also,
that.
But also Michael Jackson was sampling breakdancing and sure. putting a new spin on it. But yeah, technical is not the right word.
I don't know. For me, I think you need a lot of body control for both of them just in different ways. Like the way that he had to make his body do things that bodies aren't supposed to do.
You mean like diddling little kids?
Bodies are not supposed to do not that, Gina. Sorry that. If that's a hot yeah. take for you and your friend from X-Men, allegedly.
I mean, she can't be that much of a friend because she's trying to take his job.
Straight up went there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But who could blame her? It's right there. I mean, it's open.
We've been writing letters constantly saying, make Gina the showrunner. Then we faked a whole bunch of evidence and sent him in to Cartoon Network. Wait a minute, are they Fox?
We sent him to every network because we just weren't sure. We weren't sure who was making it. So we made sure they all got it.
I'm mm-hmm. not a good Black Mirror, y'all. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. Okay, so they've taught him some remedial alleged breakdancing moves. And now we're all invisible again. And at which point, the stuck-up girl from the group, I can't really tell what their roles are. They have not done a good job of defining who these characters are in this episode. For someone who is... Every episode could be somebody's first chan. I don't know if you know about this concept.
Suggesting is at the beginning, every one of them should be, I am Stacey Ferguson. I will grow up to be in the Black Eyed Peas one day and sing a song about my lumps.
It would have been very helpful. Yeah, her lovely lady humps. the stuck-up one from the group, I guess, comes in and says, where did those two nerds go? At which point, one of the other people flicks her in the nose or the ear or something. And she screams and goes, ow, there must be mosquitoes in here. And she runs off.
Makes sense to me. What's your problem with it?
Yeah.
No notes. 10 out of 10.
I feel like
a perfect scene.
That's Gina's like normal life, only without the invisibility. She just like smacks people. Like, what are you going to do about it?
Jesus.
I also get out of things by pretending there's mosquitoes around.
Oh, no, that's smart. Okay.
Also, I'm a leprechaun.
God. Is that why you're always wearing those rerun hats?
Okay. Gina's personal taste.
Could wear a rerun hat.
I could rock it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Of the three of us, yeah, Chan could wear the rerun hat easily.
Yeah. And you could be Fat Albert, right?
Hey. That was not terrible.
No, it was not. No.
Look, I'll call myself out when I need to. That not my worst work.
If anybody of us could pretend to be like a child molester or a no way, I'm sorry, just a roofying
Thank you, Chad. There is a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. My mistake. Let me clarify what I mean.
I am not getting myself canceled like I did on that Patreon episode. You're not going to get me, Chan. I wanted to. Can't do it. And I'm not going to make that joke. Thank you. How dare you? Go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast.
Yeah, sign up for that. For whatever happened there.
Oh, man. I can't even. Like, this show is off the rails. The two kids with the leprechaun now agree. Now we will, in fact, help you to become a rock star. What have they been doing all this time beforehand? I'm a little confused.
They were trying to study.
They were just teaching him how to dance. But now we're going to help you. What was that before? Just extra credit? I don't know. I don't have a good answer. Let's just get to the song that feels like a montage song. Honestly, they start the song up, and then just the way they're shooting it and the way the song revs up, it's Fame. I'm Gonna Live Forever. This is one of my mom's favorite songs. I get very excited when this song comes on. But I was like, are we doing a... I thought, based on the tempo and the way they were shooting it, that this was basically going to be a montage of them, like, showing him rock star stuff. And then it just turns out to be a normal-ass Kids Incorporated number. And yeah. I wrote here, this leprechaun just absolutely cannot sing. And I guess he did a better job in the previous song. But to what you said, with the choices they have him make and the way they recorded it, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not that he can't sing. It's just that they're like, you need to sound like a weird little leprechaun during this song.
He's like off key. It's just out
weird.
Yeah.
I can catch the moon in my hand. Don't you know who I am? Remember my name.
Say, I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna learn how to fly.
Just
love it.
Weird.
Yeah, look, of all the songs they performed on this show, I would say that Fame was probably my second favorite song. Again, I mean, give me up tempo.
You. I mean, the song is unequivocally good. The song itself, the performance it's issues, but
not great. I just wrote here the one good thing about Kids Incorporated is that I could tune out completely during all the musical numbers and miss absolutely nothing. No plot will be advanced in those times. No story will be driven. You can just check out and back in when the music stops and you're fine. And you're not really going to miss anything from these musical numbers. They are a big old nothing burger.
I mean, as a kid, that's what I was there for. I was there to hear music and to see kids doing it. And
what? I'm sorry. What, Jim? What were you?
Yeah. No. I wanted to watch. This was my version of kiddie porn as a kid. Okay. And watching kitties.
Thank you for clarifying that, Robert Clark Chan. Just want to make sure I say your name for the record when this appears on YouTube.
Talking to the wire so the FBI can
speak to the flower, please. Oh, boy. And now we get the scene where he says, thank you so much for teaching me how to be a rock star. And I just sit back and I go, what exactly did they teach him?
I don't know. I honestly could not tell you.
They spent the first three quarters of their time with him avoiding him and then allegedly taught him a dance move, except they didn't really do that. They just watched him do his own dance move and said, great.
Yep. They watched him do a sort of robot, and then all of a sudden he's moonwalking. Is he?
I thought it was weird that he was like, he abruptly was like, and now it's time to go back to my home planet. And then they were like, bye. I thought this was going to end with him like, I don't know. I feel like they could have worked in something where they were like, do you want to join the team? And then he was like, you know what? I've realized that I don't want to be a rock star after all. I want to go home and work with my dad. Because he has that very weird thing. He's like, my dad says I sit on the couch too much. And it's like, what the fuck else? What do leprechauns do for work?
They have gold. They have a trust fund already. They don't need to work.
They hoard gold.
Yeah. Also, like, it was weird to me that the leprechaun is now suddenly, after being a major plot point of the episode, that he doesn't want to be seen by the other members of Kids Incorporated or other people, that he is just now, with no setup, doing a show with them.
And, like, this okay, maybe not professional, but at least pro am group is like, sure, come on stage and dance slash sing with us.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's ever been on an improv team where you where someone suggested a new member, but that definitely isn't how it goes down. Someone doesn't just bring someone.
Oh my god, that's too real.
Can my buddy perform with us? What the fuck did you just say? By the way, he's a leprechaun. Oh, okay.
Can I tell you? When in my big improv life back in Detroit, so this would be the early aughts at Second City Detroit, RIP, bless its heart. I'll never forget, I went to go see an improv show that some of the other community people were doing. And one of the most amazing things just happened because, say, there were five people in the show, and then they do it for like a good like 5-10 minutes, their set's going on to a blackout. And then when the lights come back up again, another improviser who's not part of the group was just center stage in front of everybody, and he just started talking and they just went with it. He, to my understanding, was not part of the show. I was sitting front row. He appeared right in front of me. They were some hard blackouts, right? Like I could not see anything. And I guess he just got up and got on stage from the audience or something. And they all knew him. So I guess like they didn't care, but I still think about that and just how completely upset I felt inside. And I couldn't really explain why that this new person who I had not been introduced to was now suddenly taking over the show.
I would have pushed him off the stage and murdered him.
He was the leprechaun.
That tracks.
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know. Anyway. And okay. So they introduced the leprechaun. And they introduce it with Billie Jean, one of Michael Jackson's greatest songs. Maybe his best song. I'll say it out there.
That's because you don't know any other songs.
How dare you? There's one musical reference I understand. It's Michael O. Jackson.
Yeah, so that's...
He refers to himself, the leprechaun does, as Michael O. Jackson.
Mm-hmm. No, the kids introduce him as Michael, don't they?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. So I just want you to get, out I want loud you to get the get facts angry. Right.
Yeah, I would hate to.
What's
I would
his name? Michael O. Jackson. What's happening, baby?
God also, damn it.
For the record, not a good moonwalk.
And they ask it right out loud. They go, why is your friend green? And they just say, that's his image.
I mean, honestly, that's the thing that makes the most sense to me. If someone was like, hey, who this person that wants attention also paints their face when they do music, I'd be like, yeah, all right.
This is before Guar, so people weren't quite as understanding of that sort of thing.
Yeah, this is before Insane Clown Posse really took it to higher levels. Also, in the getup and outfit, the leprechaun looks like Corey Feldman from his Michael Jackson era.
Yeah.
And it made me very upset. It made me very unhappy. I felt bad for him. And last song is The Last Dance, Last Chance. I'm not familiar with this
what
song either.
What the fuck?
I know, Gene. I'm sorry. Who sings this? I don't know this
so
one.
So you don't know black people is what you're saying.
I knew the Michael Jackson songs.
Vaguely, you knew that Michael Jackson was in some way associated with them. This is a song by Donna Summer. It's one of her biggest hits.
What? Is it really?
What the fuck?
And again,
like
I
very
was like,
famous. These, like probably Donna Summer and Lionel Richie, probably two of the most famous black artists of the decade. Other than Michael Jackson, and you don't know mm-hmm. either of them.
Mm-hmm. I know I had a Lionel Richie album at home. It had Hello on it, and that is one of my all-time favorite songs. So
you don't dislike black people. You have one black friend.
I have one black song friend that I listen to. My musical reference level is terrible, Gina. Please, I am fully accepting and open about this. There are a lot of songs that I have a blind spot for, and this is definitely
a
one
black
of them.
Spot, you mean?
Oh,
listen, I can't look. Sometimes you just have to take the beating, and I will just take the beating. I will accept it. I will not argue it.
Last dance tonight. I need you by me, beside me, to guide me.
That was Stacey Ferguson, aka Fergie.
That was Fergie. I mean, look, I am completely blown away that this person is in this thing. It kind of brings me joy because none of these pop stars ever come from like overnight nothing. You find out that, you know, that like all of your favorite performers of today all had these gigs coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I that's fun. Yeah, I look, it's over. That's the end of the show, everybody. We don't really wrap a whole lot of anything up. This show is not here to really have a strong narrative.
No.
It is here to let the kids sing and dance, and any narrative is purely accidental.
Yeah.
He goes back to Ireland. Love. That's a narrative.
Yeah, I mean, look, we tie it up, I guess. He goes back to Ireland to become a big rock star. Yeah. I do not find the character likable. I do not find any of the characters in this show likable. A few of them can sing a little bit.
I like the guy who brought in the crate. He put it down gently.
You know what? He really did command the scene with his little cart trolley thing.
It's called a dolly.
A dolly, thank you.
Very normal thing that normal people have.
It was probably invented by a black person. That's why Ray doesn't know it.
No, God, that makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense.
So we've turned, as I predicted at the beginning, we turned this from a Chan versus Ray and Gina episode to another in the long line of Chan and Gina versus Ray episodes.
Here's the thing. I'm on your side as long as you know shit, which is very rarely. Well, why,
it's very rare. Yeah.
Which is, again, why commonly it is a Chan and Gina versus
Are
Ray
Are we talking
episode.
About Common? Name a Common song. Name one song from Common.
And that's our show, everybody. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening. Kids Incorporated, how about that? That's something.
That was something. I will not disagree with you there.
Common is a great actor. I really enjoyed him in the John Wick series of movies.
I was hoping you were going to say something with the wrong black person. I was hoping you were going to say I loved him in when he played the clumps in the movie with all the clumps.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that checks out.
Look, I know who Common is. I am a fan. He was in a lot of commercials years ago. and I understand him to be a spoken artist, a slam poet, as well as a musician. I understand who he is. I am not familiar with his music, but when he showed up in John Wick, I go, there's Common. I enjoyed his performance. isn't that good enough for you, TV's Gina Polito?
What, that you didn't actively hate him?
He's a very good looking man, a very talented man. I've seen him do performance stuff, but I have not been tracking his music, and I don't think I should have to feel bad about it.
I want to just keep talking about this until you eventually say something that you shouldn't say.
Oh, I'm being very careful to not say things that could be taken out of context.
Well, I guess that's my cue to edit something in here.
I'm going to eat loudly into the microphone until
Why
Chan gets back.
Why are you doing
back.
This to me? No. Oh, God. I deserve it. It's fine. It's fine. I don't like this.
Let's see. What am I eating here? Trader Joe's rice cracker medley.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.